Kuk3O, Sunday night, Shara B'tochen. So the Mizmor of Purim is Chav Beis. So it says there, B'chavot Chavoseinu, B'tchu V'atfalteimu, Heilecha Zaku V'nimlotu, B'chavot Chuvalovoshu. So how can you have a more explicit statement of B'tochen than the Purim, Perek and Tillim has those famous words. And the Rambam says that the message of Purim, very fascinating Rambam, he says, you know, we hear like thousands of messages of Purim. Every tape you listen to, every class you go to, hey, what's the message of Purim? But the Rambam says the message of Purim. The Rambam says the message of Purim is lo, and we say it really in Shoshanas Yaakov. This is the Rambam in the beginning of Yerach HaZaka. He says that Hashem listens to those who daven to Him. He says Lahudia. He says that Mik Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Koreinu Eilov, that Hashem responds to Tfilos. That's it. That's the Rambam's like. That's the mess. That's the story of Purim. That Hashem responds to the Tfilos. He says it in the beginning. In the beginning of Yalach HaZaka, when he counts out the mitzvahs, and then he says, you know, there are mitzvahs drabonim also, and he says, Purim, Mikra Megillah, but it's not a deal, right? So it's only a drabonim, that drabonim made a yomtiv, because the Jews were saved, and this shows that Hashem responds to our tefillos. And that was the dynamic of Purim, I'm saying, that they daven to Hashem, and he answered the tefillos. And if you know the song, Shoshanas Yaakov, so we say, Lahudia, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu. Now this ties into Shahar B'tochen, right? Lahudia, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, V'lo Yukomu Lo Netzach, Kol HaCholson Boch. Although, right, Lahudia, to let know, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahol of Samecha, Prochem Yachat Chilas Mordechai, Tshuosom Ha'yisol Lo Netzach, the tikvasam ador hold of ador lahodia, to let you know, shekol kovecha, and all those who are koven b'Hashem, kavei l'Hashem, lahodia shekol kovecha lo yevoshu, will not be embarrassed, lo yukomu lo netzach kol acholsim bach. So according to the Rambam, you have that tefillah and bitachon is Purim, and the mizmor of Purim, which is chav beis in Tehillim, it says, B'chavotchu avoseinu, B'chavotchu v'atfalteimu. So how can we not learn about B'tochen on Purim? So okay, next month of Shabbos, instead of going to parties.
For real? You serious?
Half serious. I'll be by the party, I'll talk about B'tochen. You make sure you're there and you'll listen.
I'll be there.
Blin it's a mitzvah. Blin ed. No, month of Shabbos I'll be here. Okay. So, let's finish up the psicha today, so that then we'll take next week a break, because I don't know what state I'll be in next Sunday night. Hope I'll be in a good state. State of Israel, not such a good state. Okay, and then Mitzvah Shem, when we resume, then you'll tell me, ladies can come to a shiur before Pesach, what are you, crazy? So we'll see what happens. We'll see. But maybe we'll try to start Perek Rishon, so we could start learning about B'tochen instead of keeping learning about the introduction to B'tochen.
Certainly until Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
What?
Said we can come to Shirim after Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
Take a break. Tell your husbands that you need a break from the cleaning, and they should do a little cleaning too. And you come to the Shir. They're not coming to the shul. They say they have to help at home. You should know what's going on. They're saying they have to help at home. Meanwhile, they're not helping you. So you should know that. Let them help and you come to the B'tochen Shir. Okay. Let's finish up indeed the Hakdamah. So let's start from the beginning again, where it says that the Toelos of B'tochen is for Olam Hazeh. I'll go through it quickly. He says, first of all, stress-free. Calms you down from stress. Stress both from the stresses of Olam Hazeh, things that go wrong, refrigerator breaks, mortgage payment due, frees you from that stress. I said, you can't enjoy the simcha if you're stressed out. So you can't enjoy life. You don't appreciate the good things happening in your life when you're stressed. And also, it saves you from a different kind of stress, he says. The hamanucha mitirfa nefesh, the tirdosa al heder teshuko seho. Hagufnius, he says, a lot of stress is tithus. A lot of stress is that you want new things, you want nice things, you want things that you don't need, you want things, whether it's cars or a bigger house when it's not necessary, or more clothing when it's not necessary. We all want to acquire things that we see. So that redifa after things in Olam Hazeh, that's very stressful. It causes stress. Maybe you can't afford it. That's stressful. Maybe you could afford it, but then there's always a newer thing and a better thing. And the neighbor has a nicer thing. Or you're wondering what the neighbor will think of you. So all that is stressful. So if you have bitachon, then Hashem will provide. So if you need it, Hashem will provide it. If you feel that way, so then you're not stressed about it. So those two kinds of stresses, from the vicissitudes of daily life, from the difficulties of daily life, and from the stress of acquiring things, getting things, wanting things, you're freed from that stress. Ka'amro, and he brings down the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Baruch Yeva Sheiftach Ba'ashem, Vayashem Eftacho, Vayokei Shosu Apal Gemoyim, Pal Yuba L'Shalech Sheroshot. It's a tree, it's calm, it's sitting there, it has everything it needs. So it's the picture of tranquility. Umayhem, another toelas in Olam Hazeh, is Menuchas Gufo. We said last week, we went to job. You won't take a job that's overly stressful. You won't take a job that's dangerous. You won't take a job that is detrimental. Because although this talks about detrimental, that it makes you travel a lot. It's not the point whether it's detrimental or not nowadays. But certainly he's talking about detrimental to one's health, detrimental to one's family, detrimental to one's ruchnius, detrimental to one's menuchas nefesh. So you won't take a job that is mechala the nefesh. He's talking about detrimental to the guf. He talks about traveling, mechishim bias ketz adam. Kmo shomer akosav ina baderech kolchi. You have to travel a lot, kitzar yoma. It cuts your life short. Then he brings down a whole story. We learned it last week. This person that thought he was a porush, he thought he wasn't a commoner, but he was a more higher sort of a ruchniyistic person. So he goes to a faraway place from his home to look for parnosa, to seek out parnosa. And he found an avodah zarah there, and they had a conversation about the uselessness of avodah zarah and the usefulness of and the contrast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Ovid of Adazara tells him, so what are you doing here? If you really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your actions are contradicting your words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you be in fine as you just as easily where you live? You don't have to go to a faraway place. We're going to learn in the Chaim Soldovas later on in the Shara B'Tochen, that sometimes a person does have to travel to a faraway place to get his parnosa. Sometimes that's what his life's cards hold. We don't really know. Sometimes parnosa comes hot, and you have to travel to get the parnosa. So the point of the Chavis Halbavis here isn't so much the traveling per se, but it's again, it's on your attitude towards it. And how eagerly do you do it? In other words, the Baal Bitochon won't lechatchila set himself up that way. It may happen that, you know, life holds different nisyonos for different people. So it may happen to a particular person that he has to, and that Chavis HaLovas will deal with in Shara Bitochon. particular person has to travel in order to make parnasa. But to set yourself up in that way, to say, you know, this is what I have to do, it's talking not a good thing, but this is the only way I'm gonna make it big. This is the only way I'm gonna make a lot of money. This is the only way I'm gonna be able to retire at 40 years old. I wanna make a killing now and then retire. So this is the only way. So that's what the Chavis of Olmos is screaming against. Don't do that. Don't do something that's detrimental, because you have a cheshbon and you're jumping into it because you think this is the way. There's other ways. You shouldn't do this l'chadchila. Yeah, if you tried things and you made your normal hishtadlus, which we'll learn about what that is, and segeinish, sometimes Chavis of Olmos is no fool. He knew people get sick, people don't have parnasa, people have tzaris. He's very aware of that. What he's saying here is, don't do it. You don't set yourself up with a tzara. You don't set yourself up. So if you have bitachon, like he said before, if you don't have bitachon, so you say, I better take this job. Where else am I going to find a job? The boss is this. The work conditions are that. This. I don't have an eight, so what are you going to do for parnasa? Don't do that. You may end up having to do that. Yeah. It may end up like that. That may end up being your niche, and maybe Hashem wants you to be misakin your midos there. Maybe he wants you to misakin the boss's midos. We don't know why Hashem does things. But here he's talking that the Baal Bitachon won't do that l'chadchila. And also, he goes, also jobs. He won't take a job that's demeaning. He won't take a job that people look askance at him. He's talking about a tax collector. They used to buy the concession from the government, and they used to collect the taxes. So everybody had tax. That's not for everybody. You have people. The nature of their job. Maybe a collection agency. So I've had such a nice experience with the collection agency. I don't look down on it anymore.
What about like a garbage collector or something like that? That's not the whole
thing. Nothing wrong. Unless it's dangerous. No, he's not talking about. It's very interesting that he does not talk about that. He's talking about nothing's demeaning. The Gemara says work is not demeaning. Chazal is talking about something dangerous, something detrimental to your health, something that overly, someone that's not built for it shouldn't do it. You have to be very strong. So he says, so something that physically is beyond your capabilities, really, that he is talking about. But the very fact that it's not a white-collar job, there's no problem with that. He has a much bigger problem with people that collect taxes and people, better a garbage collector than a politician. Garbage collector, no one's going to talk Lashon Hara about them, right? Maybe if he wakes them up at 4 in the morning, they might talk Lashon Hara on him, right? Garbage men have a way of enjoying doing that. At least in New York they did it. I don't know here. In New York, like 4 in the morning, you can be sure you hear that clanging of those garbage cans banging together and the screaming. But people generally don't have tinnitus to the garbage collectors, but to the politicians. He says, they don't have a bad name. Don't take a job that gives you a bad name. Again, you're talking about someone that will deserve the bad name, someone who takes a thankless job because they hold they can do it, kol hakavod. But his point is, Shabbatech al Hashem doesn't take something for parnasa if really he rather wouldn't. That's the bottom line. I told you in Shara B'Tochen he talks even more openly about job satisfaction, how important that is. Here he just says, take something that's noach l'gufo, u'machabit es mamodo, v'kala machshavto. He doesn't have to put himself into it too much. His mind could still be on more spiritual matters. You don't have to throw yourself into it so much. Ve'inu matridu melekayim chovus Torah, so it doesn't stop him from learning Torah. Imidiyosu ha'brura, because the Baal B'Tochen knows for sure, she'in ha'siba mosifu b'parnas also. The Siba, meaning your Hishtadlus, is not going to get you And you really have to believe this, and this is a lifetime work. You're not going to gain. It's counterintuitive. Stay in the store an extra hour, you're not going to earn money, more money over the course of the year. Hashem said how much money you're going to have over the course of the year. So you'll ask me, why should I open my store from 9 to 5? Even, let's call, I'm an American, so I say from 9 to 5. So say, that we'll see when he talks about hishtadlus, that a person has a chiv to be industrious, and a person has a chiv not to be lazy, and you're not allowed to be lazy and hide behind the rack of bitachon. You have to be zrizus, you have to do things correctly. So if the normal is to have your store open from 9 to 5, you have to have your store open from 9 to 5, or you're doing something wrong. Unless higher madrega, we'll talk about that, but there's certainly nothing wrong with it, ostensibly. But, if you come in and you want to open at 8, so you have to open, you take away time from learning in the morning, you have it a little faster, so you want to start 8 because you want more money, you're not going to get more money. It's counterintuitive, but that's what Chavis Olam says, that's the Aleph of Bitochem, that when Hashem said there'll be X amount of money for you over the year, that's the way it's going to be. It's not going to help you to do more work. If you need more money, it's very natural. People take second jobs because they need more money. So again, first of all, we'll be learning about that. But the basic answer is that everything, just make sure it stays within the realm of the normal, what people normally do. But this amount of hours gives you this much income. Okay, so whether you need more, you need less, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mazman to you what you need already. If you have a special needs and people take a second job, the first job provides them with. If you would ask me, but the second job takes me away from my family too much, and it's detrimental to my ruchnius because it's, I don't like people hanging around there. In fact, you apply the bitachon rule. You say you'll get what you need, and Hashem will provide. And you don't go do something that's beneath you, that's compromising. It has to be coupled with his belief. You can't just go through the motions. It has to be coupled with your knowledge, not just your belief, your knowledge. Shaina Siba Mosifa Panasoso doesn't add money to your coffers. It doesn't take away. Doesn't come from far away places. People can be up 1 minute, down the next minute. How many times he lost all his money? All of a sudden he came into money. This is all Hashem knows what's best for each person individually. But you can't start to have the tacham unless you really, truly believe in your heart of hearts that Hashem knows what's best for us. Then you're ragua. Hashem can do anything. Hashem is omnipotent. And Hashem knows everything. Hashem is omniscient. And Hashem wants what's good for you. You think about these three things, you can't be tachon. If you're not so sure, so to speak, like in your heart of hearts, Hashem wants what's best for you, but maybe he's not sure what's best for you, you want to tell him. But that's what he says. So you don't do crazy things with parnasa, because it's not going to help you. David was happy. He lay down on the meadow. He had a place to sleep. He had something to drink. That's all. Hashem botachti. Okay. Umehem. Now he goes into a fourth toeles. He says it helps you. This is more a little like stress, but it's more frustration. It helps you cope with frustration. Because we all know that the day after the guarantee runs out, it's going to break. And we all know that you forgot to make the deposit and the bank was closed, then you go into overdraft. And they didn't accept the check because there was a smudge on it, so they decided not to accept it. It's not stress. He says, it's aggravation. He talks about a Baal Parnos, Mishamiya Terdos Nafsho, Bimitzcharo, there's merchandise. Right? You want to sell something, you had it all planned out, and there's a strike for 2 weeks, right? In Ashdod, where they're always striking. And it's held up. Your merchandise is held up. The equal of Mishcharo. Someone owes him money, the also people owe him money. They didn't release the shipment in Ashdod. Run out of your mind. O machlo, or sickness, and you're a begufo. You can handle it. Biyodo shashem chacham bin yanav yosem imenu. Ubochelo hatov yosem yishiv chalatzmo. This is a sentence to learn by heart. And to repeat it to yourself a couple times a day. Hashem is smarter than you are, than me. Even me, Hashem is smarter than us all, and Hashem knows and wants what's best for us. So maybe we wouldn't pick what he thinks is best for us, because he's interested in more than just us being comfortable. He wants what's ultimately good for us. He wants us to be misakin amidos. He wants us to help others. He wants us to be humble. A lot of things might be going on. And the chesed of Hashem is that we become more refined people, better people. A person can have a tremendous disappointment in life. Let's say in Shiduchim. People crash. Right? Sometimes I've seen people become more humble just on the basis of that. All of a sudden, it hit them. Not everybody's chasing after. Not everybody wants that. They become more humble. They're humbled. They became better people. So this is the sentence to learn by heart. Or even if a person's sick, he's not what is aggravated? It's not fear. Why me? It's not fear. He doesn't think like that. He says, Hashem is smarter than I am, and Hashem wants for me what's best for me, and Hashem will pick for me what's best for me better than I would pick it, because I don't know what's ultimately good for me. I know what I like, what tastes good, what feels good, what's comfortable. Hashem knows what's best for me, for my soul, for my neshama, for me, for anything about me. Hashem knows what's best, and Hashem will be bocher better than I will pick myself. Ka'omro, like the Pasuk in Tillim says, Ach le'lokin domi nafshi, I will be silent. I will be silent. Ki mimenu tekvasi, I will trust in Hashem. I will wait silently. Quiet. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's good for me. I will have that ability. That's what he says. You have the ability to cope with these things going on. You're quiet. You know Hashem. You're trusting in Hashem, and you know. You have to work on it. You know that Hashem knows what's best for you, and He picks. He wants to be better than what you are. Umehem, and part of this is Hasimcha b'chol matzav shu overalav. That will be shu negativo. Things are happening, and you can be the simcha. Not just you accept it, not just you deal with it, not just you cope with it, not just you're not stressed, but you actually, you're the simcha. And whatever it is, it's kneged yateva, right? You lose something, and you're very yekish, and every time you lose something, it becomes a whole thing. It's happening for a reason, and you trust in Hashem, and you have faith in Hashem, and you just know He's there for you, and you have that loss. So you know that dealing with it will make you a better person. And you're happy, and therefore you thank Hashem. Like two people could be walking down the street, this world, and both are happy. One is happy because he just found out he won $1 million in the lottery, and the other one's happy because he just found out he lost $1 million in stocks, and he knows Hashem has a cheshbon, and Chabad Lubavitch wants that person to work on being happy. We know it's a halacha, you have to be happy. Halacha says Chayav Adam Mivarech Al Avraham Shem Shem Mivarech Al Atova, and Rashi says, what does Kishay mean? You're besimcha. You have to summon up your reservoirs of simcha, because you know what Hashem does is for the best. So that's the halacha, even. That's the halacha. Mishnah and Brachas. But Chayav Salvavus is saying it there as Hashkofa, as this. Aval Bitochen will have that simcha, because that's an inseparable bond of Bitochen. Say, I'm relying on Hashem to get me to Yerushalayim. I'm relying on him. And if he doesn't get there, he says, well, it was for the best. I know it was for the best. Hashem wants what's good for me. So you don't lose your imun. You say, okay, I would have liked it to be differently, but I guess this is what's best for me. Then you thank Hashem for simcha that he did what's best for you.
Can I ask the question?
I'm very short. Two more lines. Let me finish two lines, please. He gives a very nice marshal. So you'll hear a marshal. You'll smile. Everybody here will smile. He says, "Kemosha al sa'im," like a mother that's giving. You ever give a bath to your child? So what's your baby doing when you're giving him a bath? He's kicking and screaming, and he's not just splashing. And when you diaper him, he says, "Bechitulo, baal karcho." Baby doesn't want to be diapered. Baby's fighting you. He thinks you're tearing his limbs apart. He doesn't know what's going on. So you're bathing him, and that's Hashem's diaper. That's what Allah says. Sounds funny? That's what you have to think. When bad things are happening to you, you have to think Hashem's diapering you. Think of your baby, and your baby's kicking and screaming and crying and putting up a fuss and thinks you're very unfair and you're a terrible mommy. And the same when you're bathing him, he says, when you're cleaning, Chazal says, Ha'ayim harachmanas, livnab, rechitzasa, when she washes him, v'nikuyev, when she cleans him off, v'hatarasa, not sure what that means, when she moves his limbs around, I don't know, v'chitulo, that I do know, v'al karcho, Moshem rachasa, like David HaMelech says, imlo shivisi v'damanti, if I didn't like what was happening, I was quiet. Kegomul alei imo, like an infant in the arms of his mother. Kegomul alei nafshi, I treated my nefesh. I'm in the arms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and I quieted my soul, I silenced my soul to accept what's happening, and I felt like a baby. That's what you feel like. This is happening, Hashem. Think of yourself bathing the baby putting up such a fuss and diapering the baby going crazy and crying, and you're a mother, you know what you're doing to it. So that's what the Baal Bitochen thinks of, and that's an inseparable part of Bitochen, because then you're able to rely on Hashem, because you know the worst thing that can happen is not worse at all, it's just worse in your eyes. You're relying on Hashem to get you through the day. And you know that if things happen, it's good. It's good. Hashem only wants good for you. So you're able to keep that, having that bitachon, even through disappointments, even through frustrations and disappointments. So I had bitachon Hashem, and it didn't work. I didn't get the job. So you say, how can I rely on Hashem? He messed me up. So you say, he messed you up? He didn't mess you up. He did what's good for you. You just don't realize it. So if a person can internalize that, then his bitachon won't be flawed by what if things happen that are not kifi rucho, because he realizes this is true. And then whatever happens is obviously, after it happens, he's mekabel b'simcha b'yavah. He says it's for the best. Yeah.
My question was on being mekabel b'simcha. One thing to be mekabel, and I understand this guy. You said kishem shem baruch malata. Halachically, you have to do be mekabel b'simcha.
Rashi defines what does kishem mean? Kishem shem baruch. You make a bracha on tova, you make a bracha on ra.
Make a bracha, the question is...
Right, so Rashi defines the word kishem. Kishem shemavarchan ala tova. Kach mavarchan ala ra, says Rashi, the Gemara means to say, the simcha. If you take it, it's very hard. It's hard, sure it's hard. You want to have a Mishnah Brura. You see, la halacha. It's hard.
Lifetime of work, isn't it? Probably is a Mishnah Brura. So we'll see how we live. There's people here. It's all been very technical. So you have a Mishnah Brura.
The end of Chelek Beis is Hilchos Brachos. I'm hoping he passes like Rashi. I guess I'll look pretty foolish. We'll see in a second.
Isn't it also the difficulty, the definition of
Simcha? This is in the Mechaber, in Simen Reish Chav Beis, I'm sorry. Chayev Odom Levarich Al Arah B'dash Lema U'V'Nefesh Chafetzo K'derech Shem Levarich B'Simcha Al HaTova Ki Harah Ola Ovdei Hashem Hi Simchosom B'Tovosom Kibin Shem Akabal Me'avo Asher gozer olav Hashem. Nimtza shebekabal ro zu hu oved as Hashem shehi simcha lo. See? He says not like Rashi. He says very deep. He says, yemekabal it b'da'as shleima. He says not like Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara says, yemekabal it b'simcha. Because you know, and I say, Chet Favava says it too. That's what we just learned tonight. Chet Favava says it also. That you mekabel it b'simcha because you know that Hashem knows what's best for you, and this is what's best for you. Mechaber indeed has a much more complex series of emotions. He says you mekabel it b'da'as shleima u'b'nefesh chafetza. That doesn't mean b'simcha. It means you accept it. You're not bo'et in Hakadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom. You accept it. You know that Hashem knows what's best, so you accept it willingly, not. Okay, Hashem, you're stronger than me, you know, so you get in the ring with Hashem, and Hashem wins, because he's much stronger than you. That's not good. Hashem is stronger than you, that's not good. You willingly accept what Hashem is sending you. And that's your avodah. And since you're being oved Hashem, that's your simcha. That you're able to be oved Hashem in this way. So that's much more complex than Rashi. Rashi says, you mekabel it b'simcha. That's what the Chayim Shalvava says also. Because you know it's good for you. So you have to, I just believe it's good for me. Hashem wants me. Chayim Shalvava says, Hashem is bocher b'tov, better than I would have picked. I would have made the wrong choice because I would have been led astray by some temporary lust. And Hashem knows what's best for me. Hashem knows it's so that's what, but he has a more lamdisha halach.
Sorry, it depends on the definition of simcha. Simcha isn't pleasure. Isn't what the people in the modern world think it is.
That's true also, right?
Hello. We're always saying that it's a shahud aside for you, but isn't there a certain element that you, like, can you not make a mistake? Let's say you had, I don't know, to decide between two jobs, let's say. Isn't there a certain element that it's you deciding?
No, he's talking about things that occur. A person gets sick, people lose money. He's talking about people who have things happen and they suffer all kinds of losses.
But can we always, in other words, can we always blame everything on Hashem, or is there any blame when it comes to us?
That's a heavy question. The Gemara says, for example, I'll go be de shemayim chutz mitzinim u'pachim. I cannot blame Hashem for my laryngitis. That's what the Gemara says.
Okay.
If it relates to a cold, then you can't blame Hashem. I foolishly went ahead and did whatever I did to my voice, and I didn't sleep enough, and I didn't eat properly. And he had everything up together, so I can't blame Hashem for this. But there are things that people do to themselves, and Hashem allows them to do it. someone who speculates in the stock market and he does it carelessly, and he does it, you know, he just throws darts at the dart board and buys stocks, then he loses his money, so he can't buy Hashem. There is a concept that Hashem.
Turn around and say, well, in any event, Hashem wanted him to be in that situation. You understand?
There are things that people can do to themselves. Hashem gives us that leeway. Hashem gives us the leeway of harming ourselves, unfortunately. That's chutz mitzinim u'pachad. Gemara Kravet specifically talks about catching cold and getting sick. Gemara says that you do to yourself. Don't blame Hashem for that. Sometimes it's sent as an onesh, but most of the time Gemara says it's a person doing it to himself.
But Hashem could stop it if he wanted to.
Yeah, but he wants us to have the consequences of our actions sometimes. Or regarding when we do harmful things, so he lets us have the consequences of our actions.
Sometimes.
There's always all sorts of cheshbonos. You know, you can never talk in absolute terms. The only thing, you know. It's true, I mean, if Hashem didn't want it to happen, then despite ourselves, but that, you know, sometimes there's a larger reason. Sometimes I could do something foolish. Let's say I could be careless with fire in my house. So, out of my carelessness, my house should go up in flames. That's a show. But if my house goes up in flames, so does my neighbor's. And my neighbors on either side of me. And they don't deserve it. So despite my carelessness, Hashem will like intervene because of wider ramifications. So he won't let the wider ramifications happen. So sometimes that's a cheshbon. Okay, the next paragraph really just goes quickly through what he will cover in Shaar HaBitachon. Till now he talked about the benefits of bitachon. Now he says, I'm going to start learning about bitachon. Chapter 1 is going to be what bitachon is, the definition of bitachon. Chapter 2 is why people should have bitachon on it, on anything they have bitachon in. What makes you have bitachon in someone? Chapter 3 is why, therefore, you should have bitachon in Hashem. And also part of chapter 3 is, when is Hishtadlus called for? And why Hashem made a world where we have to make our Hishtadlus? Chapter 4 is, when you should have Bitochen, and what shouldn't you have Bitochen about? Because we'll see, maybe in Ruchnius you shouldn't have Bitochen. The fifth thing is, the difference, how you can tell the difference between a Baal Bitochen and not a Baal Bitochen, even though they're both waking up in the morning, going to work, and coming home from work. And they're going through the same motions, but they're in two different worlds. Mamish. Chapter 6 is people who they don't trust in Hashem. They want Hashem to prove himself. So they'll say, when I'm 40 years old and I have my fortune, then I'll retire and I'll sit and learn a whole day. But Hashem has to prove himself to them first. And he has a name for them, Bale Mashkonos. The seventh chapter is what spoils bitachon, what makes a person not have bitachon in Hashem. And then generally talks about, sums up the inyani bitachon and gives a quick chazara on the whole shaar. So those are the seven prokim that we'll be learning. So now we're taking a 2-week break. So you have to remember that Hashem, I mean, we'll next learn in 2 weeks. So, but I'll talk about bitachon once the Shabbat together. So remember, Hashem is omniscient, omnipotent, and He knows what's best for us, and He wants what's best for us, and we're just a bunch of diapered babies, kicking and screaming.
Can I ask you? You mentioned somebody winning a lottery. What's the Torah's attitude?